MGTOW Man, welcome back. So last week was a discussion of Yehu. This week we're going to be discussing a man that lived out the MGTOW life and paid for it. He paid for doing so, and that's John the Baptist. For those of you that are new, each Sunday I do a talk regarding a red pill in the Bible and a story related to it and the MGTOW connections that can come forth. Back in October, I believe I first talked about John the Baptist, primarily Herodias and the execution of John the Baptist, and there are a couple things that I want to tie in here. So in the video today, I'm going to tie what I see as John the Baptist living out the combination of two things that I hold very dear to my heart, two M's, minimalism and a message. And I'm going to elaborate on how a message can be empowered through a creation of minimalism and a lack of reliance on the physical. And then I'm going to elaborate on what the entities a MGTOW man is going up against in the world today based on the story and the continuation of the story that I discussed last October. So let's start with a little bit of background. And John the Baptist, just for your guys' knowledge, was born 6 months prior to Jesus, and he was meant to prepare the path, and he was the cousin of Jesus. So in Matthew 3, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who is spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, and make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all over Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with the water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So the way that I've seen things in life, the more minimalistic that you are and the more that you strip yourself down to what you truly need, apparently locusts and honey and camel's hair, the more that you can value the message that you have. And closely related to the message that you have, whatever it is your purpose. And closely related to that is your identity. And as I've discussed in the past, losing your identity is essentially a destruction of self and is the thing that many men forfeit prior to the coming of MGTOW in their lives in the blue pill days. So the strength of your message is subsequently closely related to that which you have to lose, or how much you're willing to lose, or how much you've already lost. So John the Baptist literally had nothing to lose at this point, which was his life, you could say, and he ended up losing this, was all that was left for him to lose, and he lost it through to beheading. But he, in his mind, had already lost his life long before he actually ended up losing it, in my eyes. And what this means is that the man had created a leverageable dichotomy between passion and loss. There was great passion behind him because he had gotten rid of loss. Fearing loss removes the ability for passion. It's an enemy to the fulfilled MGTOW life. And if you can get your loss behind you, much like we say you want to get your fear behind you, which is in some sense both a spiritual thing and a minimalistic thing, they're both married, then you end up carrying very little in your life backpack, I like to say. So everyone packs for their journey in a different way. Everyone packs differently in their life backpack. Some overpack, unfortunately, it weighs them down. They're not able to be agile. They get stressed out. And very few pack as much as they need. Almost none pack much of anything. Almost nothing, and instead rely on the future to hold for them that which they do need. So right here, I'm discussing this oblique marriage of minimalism and the message. And the more minimalistic you are, the more that you can come with power behind whatever your message is. And the reason that people are not fervent and passionate with their message and their identity and sharing that which gives them purpose and they believe what to be right is that it removes them from a group. It separates them. It puts them at risk in their eyes. And the only reason of this world why it has value to be a part of a group is that in being part of a group, you are ensured access to more. So this is more of something, resources, provision, identity, feeling like you have identity, although it's false. This is even more affirmation, feeling more of your dopamine receptors. It's all linked to more in the physical eradication of access to items. And I can't say that in any sense I'm perfect in regards to this. I'm very far from it. And every day I'm trying to make myself less connected to the physical, and every day I'm working to widen the dichotomy between materialism in my soul and minimalism in my message. And my message has been soft in the past. I'm just saying this for my life because of fear, or because of fear of loss, and because of loss. And valuing the message more than your material, than your materialism, will inspire you to be more meaningful in everything. And that's the essence of the MGTOW life for me. It allows you to have that. So going forth, let's discuss a little bit more in Matthew 11. So after Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes?" He's not dressed in fine clothes. No Versace here. "No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces with a lot to lose. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.'" I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. "To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he is a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds." And this is an interesting thing right here, because I think it does closely relate itself to what we see in MGTOW today, or what we see anytime truth is granted to people that have deaf ears and ears that are not worth, do not have any value in hearing the truth, do not sit and wait for the truth. And this is going to relate to some of the people that you as a MGTOW man may have tried to red pill in the past. You're going to play the pipe for them. You're going to sing a dirge. They're not going to hear either. They're not going to mourn appropriately for the dirge, and they're not going to dance for the pipes that you're playing. They're going to instead turn and say that you have a demon, or that you're going to be a drunkard and a glutton. You're going to be called both sides of the spectrum. And talking to a world that doesn't want to hear, and instead walking away from it and ghosting amongst all those that don't understand, is often what we need to do. And it's not just what we need to do, it's what many of us want to do. And it causes many of us to lose our heads in the end, but during the time that we did have our head, it was far more worth it. And going off that, in a literal sense, I'm going to finish with Matthew 14. "At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, 'This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him.' Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying, 'It's not lawful for you to have her. Sorry, you can't have your bro's wife.' Herod, he wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered John a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for the guests and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, 'Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist.' The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and the dinner guests, and he didn't want to lose the girl, he ordered that her request be granted, and he have John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl, who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus." That's why John the Baptist and his message always appeared to be MGTOW for me as well. He was willing to lose. He was willing to lose what other people thought that they should value in life. And the thing is, he fell to the two powers that many men are failing, or not failing to, but falling to today. And especially those that speak out on things and the world hears and doesn't want to hear. And in this way, John the Baptist reflects the current state of affairs for the MGTOW man living in the world right now. The MGTOW man is living amongst entities that aim to behead him. Even if what he believes and pursues is healing and beneficial. This is the government. in the buzzsaw of what we have seen in individual relationships and feminism as well. So a man, this is the funny part, a man that was so butthurt despite being a ruler, a Herod, so butthurt that another guy told him that he can't have a woman, that he goes about this length and beheads John the Baptist, being used as the utility by Herodias to eradicate the truth. And this is why we walk away. But I can't ever say that there's a good enough reason to acquiesce in your purpose as an individual. But this is why we walk away. We're keeping our heads cool, but oftentimes the world just wants to take your head straight off your neck because of it. MGTOW Men, thanks again. If you have anything to add to this or any historical things to put in there, things to add, as I'm no historical or biblical scholar, you can do so at sunrisecity@gmail.com or at sunrisecity on Twitter. Thanks for listening once again, guys. The support has been unending. Thank you for the emails. I still am traveling, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Hoodies up, man. Hoodies out.